Father, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you, Lord. You are good. You are faithful. You are true. And Lord, we thank you for the rain. Lord, we just thank you that your rain falls on the just and the unjust. Lord, you are merciful. And we thank you, God, for the rain. And Lord, we just reminded of the farmers today. Lord, we pray you bless the farmers. Lord, we just ask for mercy. And Lord, I pray that you come, that your Holy Spirit would breathe on your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Just come, breath of God, and breathe on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare our hearts to worship with the praying. so good and you're so faithful. Thank you, Father. We pray, Father, for baby Elsie, who is in Danielle Imling's womb. And Lord, we pray that that baby would stay in the womb until the full term. And Lord, we pray for Danielle with the back pain. And Lord, we know that that's kind of just part of labor, but Lord, we ask your mercy on her in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, just your peace and Lord, just a relaxing and Lord, help. And we just ask your mercy on Danielle in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Sally Miller, Abby's mama. Lord, we ask your encouragement on Sally in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would, we're going to talk about that, but you would surround her with songs of deliverance. Wisdom, God, peace, and your mercy on Sally in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for baby Vaughn, Dixie, and Mike's grandson, little one, Lord, that has COVID. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless him, that his immune system would be strong. And Lord, just bless him. We pray healing and protection on Mike. And Lord, just bless and his parents, God. We just bless him and ask healing and strength for his lungs. In Jesus' name. Father, we pray for John Burke's mother, Madge, who fell and hit her head. God, we ask healing on Madge. We ask your mercy to be upon her. Protect her, Jesus. We pray that she would get tender, loving care in the hospital of Carbondale, God. And we just ask your mercy and healing on Madge, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Joe, Janet's brother. We thank you, Jesus, for your mercy on him, your sustaining grace on him. We ask, Lord, you would continue. We just command the cancer to leave his body and, Lord, just bless him and heal him and restore him in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for Bonnie and Jerry Williams. Lord, we thank you for Stable. Lord, we thank you for Pam Pereira. We thank you for Stable. And, Lord, we just ask your continued healing and mercy on all of them, on Pam, on Bonnie, on Jerry, God, your sustaining grace. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Lord, you look after the widows and the orphans. That's your nature. That's who you are. And Lord, we see what's going on in Ukraine. And God, it's not, it makes us, it's grievous and it makes us sad and it makes us angry. And so Lord, we ask your mercy upon the people of Ukraine. God, your protection upon them. Grieving, the mourning, the hurting, the wrongs that have been done there. God, help, come, deliver, heal. We ask that the atrocities over there would stop. Lord, we bless Putin because your word says to. And so we bless him in Jesus' name. And God, help. Come, deliver. Thank you, Father, that you're good, that you are the soon and coming King. Your word says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We thank you, God, that all of the injustices, Lord, you're going to make right. And you've given us a time of repentance. And Lord, we humble ourselves this morning and we say, we need you. Father Almighty, we need you. Thank you that you oppose the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that victory and shouts of victory resound in the tents of the righteous. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for the victory that you won at the cross. Thank you for the song, Lord, that is in every song of deliverance. We thank you for your victory. We thank you for your life. We thank you, God, that you sit in heaven and you laugh because you know what is to come. Lord, we remember that and we stand on that. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Lord, we offer it up as worship unto you. Lord, you are worthy. You are good. We give it all to you. Pray you'd bless the offering and you would use it, God. You'd multiply it and use it. Give us wisdom in using it for the advantage, for just your kingdom, Lord, to go forth in DuQuoin, in this nation, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father. thinking about Psalm 107 this week. There's a lot in this psalm, and I'm really going to focus on the song part. And we are blessed as Methodists, followers of Wesleyans, we have such a rich heritage in our tradition of hymns. And I mean, I owe 4,000 tongues to sing, and my favorite, probably, you're not going to get better theology than Wesley's "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, veil the incarnate deity. Just gorgeous, beautiful theology. And we come from a tradition of singing, and we used to be called shouting Methodists. There isn't much shouting in United Methodist churches nowadays, but why? And we're going to look at that today, and I was going to do this later in my sermon, but I just feel prompted to do it now. If you grab a hymnal, the red hymnal, and if you just open it up to the very beginning, you flip over, and just within pages, you've got the preface, and then it says, directions for singing. It's really fun. It's kind of funny. The language is a little archaic, but why do we sing? I want to look at that in Psalm 107. But before I do that, John Wesley wrote this in 1761, and let's look at what he has to say. Directions for singing. Number one, learn these tunes before you learn any others. Afterwards, learn as many as you please. Number two, sing them exactly as they are printed here. One of the reasons we're called Methodists. Sing them exactly as they are printed here without altering or mending them at all. And if you've learned to sing them otherwise, unlearn it as soon as you can. Number three, sing all. See that you join with the congregation as frequently as you can. Let not a slight degree of weakness or weariness hinder you. If it is a cross to you, take it up, and you will find it a blessing. Number four, sing lustily, passionate, be passionate, and with good courage. Beware of singing it as if you were half dead. Or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of it being heard than you were singing the songs of Satan. A lot of the people that were coming into Christ in Europe at that time, they had been drunkards and hanging out in bars, and there were bar songs. And he's saying, if you sang lustfully with passion in the bar, how much more should you sing it with the company of believers? Number five, sing modestly. Do not bawl so as to be heard above or distinct from the rest of the congregation, that you may not destroy the harmony. But strive to unite your voices together so as to make one clear, melodious sound. This one's funny. That's all funny, but this one made me laugh. Six, sing in time. Whatever time is sung, be sure to keep with it. Do not run before nor stay behind, but attend close to the leading voices and move therewith as exactly as you can. And take care not to sing too slow. Oh, this drawling way naturally stills on all who are lazy, and it is high time to drive it out from us and sing all our tunes just as quick as we did at first. Number seven, above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. For those of us that struggle with a really good singing voice, which is me, some of you feel that way, that's a word for us. Aim at pleasing Him more than yourself or any other creature. In order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing and see that your heart is not carried away with the sound, but offered to God continually. So shall your singing be such as the Lord will approve here, and will reward you when he cometh in the clouds of heaven. It's really fun. But what's interesting is when you look in the Bible, when you look at history of revival throughout the world and throughout time, one of the things that is consistent in every single one of them is God gives songs. There are new songs that are birthed in revival. And the hymns that are contained, the Wesley songs, the ones that Charles Wesley wrote, the few that John Wesley wrote, they're songs that were birthed out of revival and a mighty move of God. We're going to look at an ancient song. We've looked at this song before. I've preached on the phrase of this song before, but we're going to look at it again. I really felt prompted to just revisit this psalm. So Psalm 107. What is the song of the redeemed? Why does Wesley put such an emphasis on singing? Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Psalm 107 is what we're going to look at today. Specifically the first three verses, but I'm going to go ahead and read all of it so you can get the flow. And we're going to dive deep in it next week. But hear the word of the Lord. Father, this is your word. And Lord, we thank you. God, I know that you are the singer of songs. Lord, songs are birthed from you, from your very nature. We thank you that you're not grumpy. You're not sad. You're not mopey. You don't sulk. Lord, there's victory in you. There's life in you. And Lord, that is in you, God, we want to see more of you. Help us to sing. As we sang, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. God, may that be in us. Anoint your word. Anoint me to exhort your people today. And Lord, we just invite you to come. Holy Spirit, teach us. Encounter us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. The psalm starts, "Oh, give thanks for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." The song of the redeemed, what is it the redeemed are supposed to say? Their song of the redeemed is, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." That is our song. That is our theme. The presupposition behind that is it's people that have been delivered, people that have been redeemed, people that have been set free, people who have called on the Lord, and he's heard, and he's answered, and he's delivered them. Give thanks, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That may be the most ancient chorus that's ever been sung. I was around for the worship wars in the 80s and 90s. And oh, wow, how the church fought. Some of the churches fought those choruses. I don't like singing choruses. It's just singing the same thing over and over and over. Well, give thanks to the Lord for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That song is in Psalm 107, verse 1. It's in Psalm 118, verse 1. It's in Psalm 136, 26 times. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his steadfast love endures forever. What do they know that we don't know? What do they know that we don't know? I would encourage you, if you're not and you haven't, to read the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms was the Hebrew prayer book. It was their prayer book. And it's full of songs. So much of prayer is singing. It's singing. And even some of us that don't have the best voice, it's a delight to God. And he loves to hear it. It's a precious sound to him. And if you're not reading the Psalms, I encourage you to do that. It gives voice not only to joy, but the Psalms give voice to anger. The Psalms give voice to disappointment. The Psalms give voice to sorrow and lament. And if you're not reading it, I just encourage you to read it. One of the best spiritual disciplines I've ever done is read a psalm. Same psalm, every day for a week. And then move to another one. And move to another one. Get it down in my bones. And there are times that we don't have a song. And all we have is a lament. And all we have is a cry. And the book of Psalms gives voice to that. The book of Psalms gives voice to our hatred that we have in our heart. There are prayers in the psalm that as Christians, Jesus said we need to pray for our enemies and bless those who persecute us. But what do we do with the anger? What do we do with the hostility? The book of Psalms gives voice to that and lifting it all up to God. All the hatred, all the bitterness, all the things we don't like, all of our disappointment, all of it comes up to the Lord. It's not healthy to walk around with a smile on our face all the time and pretend like it's all okay, because sometimes it's not okay. And sometimes we need to cry, and sometimes we need to lament. So I have to say that in all of this. But the book of Psalms is full of worship. And there's probably only two or three out of 150 Psalms. You mathematicians, what percentage is that? It's less than 1% of the Psalms are, they don't have, it's one of those like, and I wish I didn't write one down. Psalm 13 is a lament, but it ends in hope. But only two of them is it a psalm where it's like, God, where are you? How long must I have sorrow in my heart? Come to my aid. And there's no, it doesn't end in like a hopeful statement. But most of them, and we're going to look at this, David was, and he suffered sometimes out of his own rebellion and sin, but he also suffered from the hands of Saul, and he did not deserve that. And so Saul was persecuting David, trying to kill him, and David hid. And you know where he wrote most of those psalms? He wrote most of those psalms when he was in a cave. He wrote most of those psalms when somebody was trying to kill him. These are the psalms that he wrote. Let's look at a few of them. When you and I are afraid, or, you know, nobody's ever tried to kill us. None of us have ever been stalked to, you know, to die. But David, wrote Psalm 57 when he was hiding. Let's look at that. Flip over if you have your Bibles. Let's just look at Psalm 57. What did he say when he's afraid? Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cried out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Do you hear the hope in that? Do you hear him? He's being persecuted. He's being stalked. And yet he is alone. And there is real threats around him. And yet he finds a place in his soul. And he focuses on him. And he's confident. Lord, under your wings, I'm going to write, you're going to fulfill your purpose for me. Really? When Saul's trying to kill him? When Saul has all the manpower and he's going to take him out? There is a place of refuge that David was able to find in the Lord. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words. And yet look at what? Verse 5. Be exalted. What? He's saying how horrible it is, and yet he bursts into worship. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they've fallen into it themselves. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. There is a time and there is a season to lament. But there's also a time, church, where we need to stand and we have faith and we have victory. And with David, who has, Saul is trying to take him out, what is his cry? My heart is steadfast. Lord, you're going to protect me. You are a shield all around about me. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. As all hell is breaking loose in our country, in Ukraine, and around the world, there is something in us. There should be something in us that Spirit of God raise up where we can say and we can pray with David, Lord, be exalted. You rule and reign. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be be over all the earth. David was able to find, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of persecution, there was a place that he was able to go in his mind and in his spirit where he was safe. And he could find, and there was the glory of God and the promise of God, and God strengthened him. And church, we need to find that. Because I would love to get up here and say that things are going to be rosy here on out in our country. But I don't think so. And we have to get secure and stand in the Lord. Paul writes one of the most beautiful and profound thoughts. He said that Christ is in you, and Christ in you is the hope of glory. If we're born again and we belong to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. And he's alive in us. Paul prays for the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. He's praying strength for them. He prays that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that they would know the hope, God's riches in us, and the power for those of us who believe. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you. It's in you. It's in you. Paul had it. Acts chapter 16. He cast some demons out of a girl, and it cost the people that owned her, she was a slave, and it cost them their livelihood. You start dealing with people's livelihood and money, they're going to get mad. And that's what happens. Acts chapter 16. The winter owners saw that their hope of gain was gone. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. They accused them. And it says in verse 22, they beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison, in the inner part, and he fastened their feet in the stocks, in irons. And what are they doing? Paul and Silas in prison. Beaten with rods? Like, are you kidding me? Feet in stocks in the inner part of the prison? I probably would have been crying, lamenting. What are Paul and Silas doing? They're praying, and what else? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You all, where do you get that kind of joy? Where do you get that kind of faith? You have to cultivate that in the secret place. You have to cultivate that before you get in a situation like that. Because if you don't, you're not going to have the strength to do it. But they had a relationship with the Lord. They'd been spending time with him. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. They knew the scriptures, so that when persecution came and pain came, just horrible pain, their faith was steadfast, and they had joy because in the secret place they were able to shut everything else, and they knew God. They knew his love. They knew his joy, and they were worshiping and they were singing. Prisoners were listening. You think they'd heard much singing in there? No. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And Paul and Silas lead the jailer to Jesus. There's great glory in that. But David found the secret place. In caves, cold and alone, he wrote three-quarters of the book of Psalms, half of the book of Psalms. There was joy in his heart. Paul and Silas in prison, in just excruciating pain, they're able to sing a song. How is that possible? How is that possible? The key is found in Psalm 32:7. with a loud voice that rings. You surround me. God, you surround me with songs, with shouts of deliverance. Did you know that God is the singer of songs? Did you know that? Zephaniah, hidden away, minor prophet. Zephaniah 3, 16 and 17. Zephaniah writes, he said, "Fear not, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. The Lord your God is in your midst. God loves us. He created you to know him, to have a relationship with him, and he loves you. Do you know that he sings over you? That he rejoices over you with wild, exuberant singing? That's who God is. He is the singer of songs. He is the one who birthed the Psalms. When you look at Psalm, and I encourage you to do this, read out loud this week Psalm 145 to Psalm 150. That book is, you know, it has laments and everything else in it, but there's a crescendo when you get to the end of the book of Psalms. No more is there lament in there. All of it is exaltation and adoration. We live in a broken world. We live in a fallen world where there is pain and sorrow. And there is a time to lament. But it's all leading up to ultimate victory and ultimate exaltation. And we can taste it here on this earth right now. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be being filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. There are a lot of different signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but the one in Ephesians 5 is right on the heels that we need to be constantly filled with the Spirit. Yes, we have a born-again experience. There's power when the Spirit of God comes upon you. But all of that should not be one and done. It's a continual process. We need to be continually filled with Holy Spirit. And right, it's interesting. Right on the heels of that, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, what's right on the heels of that? It's singing a song. It's having a song. He will give you a song. And we are born out of a denomination of Holy Spirit coming, spreading revival and repentance that changed Great Britain at the time. And it spread to the United States. And singing was what came out of that. Not, well, that was one thing, but there was lives that were transformed and changed. But then there were songs that came out of that. And there's a song that the Lord wants to sing over you. He's singing that over you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he's redeemed from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. It's a song that in the midst of pain, in the midst of loneliness, that God will come, because he himself is a singer of songs. And he will come and he will sing songs of deliverance. Have you heard it? If you haven't, ask him. Instructions for singing. A little archaic and it's a little funny. But all of us, if we're born again, we need to sing. We need to sing because he's worthy and he's good and he's given us life and he's given us hope and he's given us victory. What is your song? What is your song? We're going to look more in depth next week at those deliverances. deliverances that happen in Psalm 107. But I just want to exhort you and encourage you today that you are loved. The Lord our God is in our midst, and he is mighty to save. And he's rejoicing over us. He loves you. There was a time in my life that there was real unbelief in my heart. I'm like, Lord, you don't really love me like that. You can't really, you're not, that's for everybody else. It's not for me. No, hear me. It's for you. It's for each one of you. He rejoices over you with singing, with loud shouts, with dancing. That's like spinning around, dancing. We all were dancing a jig today. Some of you might run out of here. Oh, they've gone crazy. Get out of there. But he's that good. And he loves you that much. Our God is a singer and he's a dancer. And he wants us to have that hope and faith and trust in him. So as things are dark in our world, go in that secret place. Encounter him. If you don't know him in that way, talk to him about that. Because he loves you that much. And like David and like Paul and Silas, may we be able just to come and quiet ourselves and focus on him and hear the song that he's singing over us and sing it back to him. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are the singer of songs, that you love us. Lord, what David knew, what Paul and Silas knew, we thank you. Psalm 32:7. The God, you will surround us with songs of deliverance. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would hear you sing over us. We've never heard that, Lord. I just release that among your people today. The ability to hear you sing. The ability to, and you all, you might hear it in your mind. You might wake up with a song. It may be one that you know. It might be a new song. But listen for it this week. In your mind, in your heart. Thank you, Father, that there is a secret place with you, that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of chaos, that there's peace. And Lord, help us to cultivate that now, so that when the day comes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the ancient song. And we thank you for the eternal song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Father, we thank you for those songs. Pray that we would know what the saints of old knew. Open our eyes. Open our ears. Open our hearts of singer of songs. And Lord, I pray we would be filled with your Holy Spirit and we would sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another and to you. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing loud, not self-conscious. Let's sing Love Lifted Me.
Thank you.
quickly then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Father, we thank you that you rule and you reign. We thank you for the power of the resurrection, Lord, that the enemy is under your feet. And Lord, as we dwell here on earth until your second coming, Lord, I pray we would be faithful, that we would endure to the end, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, God, and we would have songs. Lord, you give us songs in the night. You'd surround us with songs of deliverance, and we would address one another with that. Lord, we bless you and honor you, O singer of songs. And Lord, I pray we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive and follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.